We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Welcome once again to the Riverfront Bengals Show. We are episode number 30. I don't know why we're still around, but hey, I'm still having fun with it. We are the number 4 Bengals-related show in the picturesque burg of Camden, New Jersey. Beautiful there. I've heard nothing but good things about that place. I'm your host, Joe Farsing. For longtime viewers, listeners of the Riverfront, you should know the gentleman beside me, Chris Garber. Chris, how are you, sir?
Doing well, thank you. I've just come from an elementary school talent show, so I'm excited and amped up, as you can imagine.
I guarantee they're better at what they do than we are at what we do. I've seen plenty of dance recitals and everything for kids that age from my daughter. So it's amazing that they're that good, and I'm bad at everything I do. So, oh well, at least I'm doing something right, I guess. If you guys are watching us here on YouTube, go ahead and click like and subscribe. Smash the hell out of it, if you will. Don't gently touch it. Just hit the hell out of it. If you guys are listening on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on I don't even know all the platforms that we're on. I know we're on a lot. Please do us a favor. Rate us 5 stars only. If you guys don't like it, shut your mouth. If you love us, let us know about it. First things we want to hit to today is just a little bit of news and notes and Bengals land before we hit the big topic of free agency. Today, I don't know if you saw any of the press conference with the Hamilton County Sheriff, Chris. Joe Mixon cleared of any wrongdoing in that really weird incident at near his residence. His sister and her boyfriend are facing charges. Apparently, the boyfriend was the shooter that struck the kid in the foot, but
yeah, it's just, I mean, I did not see the press conference, but what a crazy story. And Joe Mixon's like living under a rain cloud lately. I mean, the trouble just keeps following him around. So have they given any more detail as to what the heck was going on in that side yard that night?
Apparently it's just some sort of game the kids were playing. And I've got kids that, you know, they've got the Orbeez guns, you know, the little gel guns. I guess these were Nerf dart guns or something, and they were just running through the neighborhood. I don't know if you've seen the area of where he lives. It's a big suburban, or, you know, it's a residential neighborhood. It's, you know, not out in the country. It's not like they're big yards.
Yeah.
And he apparently lives at the end of a cul-de-sac, so I guess they were just running around. After his menacing incident that he was charges dropped, he had apparently received death threats and threats against his person. So when there was the incident, and his trainer was with him and who called 911, Joe immediately called the Bengals security team, saying that there's something going on. Apparently his sister and boyfriend thought that there was people out there coming after him, you know, in regards to death threats and everything. So again, it's a weird situation. Thank God. Thank God the kid was shot in the foot. He tried to refuse even medical attention. Yeah. So, I mean, that's,
yeah, I guess the kid said his dad's a doctor. He'll take care of it at home.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's lucky there, but I mean,
yeah,
it's just a weird situation.
I mean, yeah, my kids have those Nerf guns. They've got the little pellet guns. They run around here all the time. And thank goodness I don't have a neighbor who's got some paranoia ready to spray at them. But yeah, thank God it seems to be all right. And you know, I guess you call it a misunderstanding, but like, let's know what we're shooting at first, guys.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing upside. It's just incredibly weird. Now I guarantee he's going to face a huge, huge, civil lawsuit. Cause this happened on his property again, even if he had nothing to do with it, you know, so he's in no legal jeopardy or anything, but you know, he's
criminal anyway.
Some headaches. So again, don't play with guns, kids. My parents wouldn't even let us have a water gun. They were so anti, you know, like we had like squirt guns and they were afraid of them. So that, you know, I guess they didn't want us getting lit up by someone thinking that our super soakers were.
Yeah. I guess not.
Only a little news tidbit here that we have this week is Chido was spotted back in the weight room. Chidobe Awuzie, rehabbing from his ACL surgery or injury that he suffered on Halloween night. Doing pool work, doing strength work, working his way back. If he can get back in time for the regular season to be at full strength, that is a huge boon to this defense.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously a serious injury, but you tell me. I don't feel like it's pretty normal for a youngish cornerback that they don't really lose a step from this kind of thing when it's repaired. It's just kind of take the time, get back on the field, and then you should be pretty much the same kind of player you were before, right?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't as catastrophic as Joe Burrow's knee injury. And, hey, Burrow's back to running over 20 miles an hour. So if he can do it, a cornerback better, so he'll be able to get back up to speed. But, again, it's, you know, he's at where he needs to be in his rehab. So it's good to know that there's no, you know, setbacks. You know, who knows what in terms of setbacks. I mean, you expect those to happen at some point. But he seems on track to be able to contribute at some point. If not by week one, at least early in the season. So that's, you know, he's your cornerback one. So you'd love to have that guy back as soon as possible. On a little more league-wide notes, have you followed Aaron Rodgers?
I was just talking about this with my kids in the car. What a circus.
Apparently he was 90% sure he was going to retire before his darkness retreat. Do you believe that for a second?
I do not. I think, I don't know. My kid's theory is that Aaron Rodgers loves to be the center of attention and will do kind of whatever it takes to stay there. I think there are easier ways to do it than crawling into a cave for 72 hours. But, no, I don't think so. I mean, I've never been in that spot. Obviously, I've never played in the NFL for 18 years or 20 years like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, and had the ability to keep playing, but maybe not the desire, and had this back and forth, will I or won't I thing. But it's tired to watch that act, man. It is tired.
It's got to be exhausting for those, for the fans in Green Bay. And for, you know, for those that have been kind of living under a rock, he probably has a new home. He has agreed to be traded to the New York Jets. They're still working out compensation. There was a supposed list of former teammates of his, Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, the bloated corpse of Mercedes Lewis. I think he's gotta be in his 50s.
Mark Chamorro on that list too.
I think he's still doing some time, isn't he?
Is he still locked up?
I don't know. He's a – yeah, that's not –
yeah, that might have been an unfortunate reference on my part.
Never not warranted. It's never not funny when it's not involved with you. And Odell Beckham Jr., but then he came back. Of course, in grand fashion, he had to announce all this crap on national TV on his weekly spot on the Pat McAfee show, trying to say that this – you know, that he didn't make all of these demands and everything, well, then why is Alan Lazard already signed to a contract when they, when the Jets are loaded with young talent at receiver and running back? It's weird. He'll end up a Jet at some point. I think it would be the funniest damn thing if, after all this, they don't work out a trade and he ends up just kind of hobbling back to Green Bay.
Well, you know, the idea we had in the car a few minutes ago is that the Jets should just go sign Lamar and leave Rodgers stuck in Green Bay.
I think they'd be
a better team. Which I think would be hilarious.
Yeah, if not in 23, going forward, they're a better team if they had Lamar Jackson than Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. How long is that Flake going to want to play? Is he going to pull a Brett Favre, play 1 year as a Jet, and then turn around and go to Vikings or whoever?
I should point out Mark Chmura was acquitted of all charges in his criminal trial in 2000. So, Mark, if you're listening, the record is clear.
2000? Holy shit, that was that long ago.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Okay. And other – I'm getting old news. I found out today
– Just another tight end news. I don't know.
What's that?
I said, what other tight ends can we talk about?
Right. I was going to say, another getting old news, after going to the eye doctor today, it turns out I need bifocals. Oh, man, that's fantastic. Anyway, moving on.
I have a whole drawer full of reading glasses here at my desk because not only do I need them, I forget them and lose them. So I have to buy them by the dozen.
That was my wife with sunglasses until she bought really expensive sunglasses, because then it's, you know, you're not going to lose them if they're, you know, $200.
Does that work? I've never wanted to try that. I've always stayed under $20 because I'll either break them or lose them.
It works. I've got a pair of I got a really nice pair of Ray-Bans I've had for a couple years, because you keep track of them. Otherwise, yeah, they're just ones you leave behind at a friend's house, or, you know, get lost, you know, under your seat in your car. So you take care of them when they cost a shitload of money. So anyway, on to the I'm getting old segment of the show. A little bit of news and notes from Bengals rivals in free agency so far. The aforementioned Lamar Jackson is still out there for anyone to grab. Still has the franchise tag non-exclusive out there. So if anyone wants to spend two first-round draft picks on a former unanimous MVP still in his prime, yeah, you have concerns about injuries, but I don't get why no one's making a move on him. He's had a lot of stuff out on social that he's not asking for $200 million guaranteed or anything. But why isn't anyone making a move on him?
Well, I get the impression that Lamar's not the easiest guy to do business with.
Sure. Hire an
agent. So, I mean, I'm not even it just could be like it may take longer than you might expect to get all the T's crossed and the I's dotted with him and whoever he's working with. Because, I mean, I think that the list of teams that, like, could use – I mean, every team could use him just about. Yeah. But the teams that, like, are in a position to get him and aren't in a position to draft in the top 10 of this year's draft, I don't know how many there really are.
You look at the Panthers – and they've actually had a good start. If you look at what they've done at free agency, they've done a good deal. But they spent a lot of draft capital to go up to draft number one. And I'm not sold on any of the guys that they're gonna that they're looking at. CJ Stroud, like maybe he's fine. Bryce Young, he's like 4'2". You worry about some of the issues with Kyler Murray. I mean, yeah, they've been shorter quarterbacks, but the list of quarterbacks that are short to succeed in this league are Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, and
he's littler than both those guys, right? Or at least maybe he's Drew Brees size.
He 5'10". I forget the exact measurement, but it was 5'10" and change. And that's I think that's shorter than Drew Brees, and definitely might be about what Kyler Murray is.
Yeah,
that's a big deal. You've got guys that are 6'5", 6'6" on the defensive line, and with
arms. Yeah, I mean, look at Joe Burrow, how big he is and how much trouble he has with passes getting batted down.
Yeah, he's 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah, I mean, I think about it like, I don't know what cap space is like, but a team like Minnesota, I mean, you know, they can't look at themselves in the mirror and be like, no, we're good with Kirk. We wouldn't want Lamar.
Yeah, he can't hear them. He's a little more stable Andy Dalton, I think, is the best.
Yeah.
Since I look at Kirk Cousins, like, he's not bad.
He's not bad, but we've seen what it is. We know all too well what not bad gets you.
Yeah.
Absent a historic defense or some other like weird factor on your team. A not bad quarterback just doesn't get you past week one of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to crap out at some point when you come up against a defense that makes you make plays. But imagine Lamar. Yeah, if you put Lamar in Minnesota, holy, you look at the stats, you look at the numbers that Jefferson put up this past year.
Yeah.
Him and what Dalvin Cook would put up on the ground, that team would be electric. They still have a good defense. That they'd be a legit 13-4, whatever they were this year, 14-3, 13-4.
Yeah, yeah.
They wouldn't be the frauds that they were this past year. That being said, the Ravens have yet to sign any outside free agent.
So they're just keeping all the powder dry.
Apparently, and that's like, and that's the problem. That's the issue with Rodgers as well. Like, you're holding up what the franchises want to do, or you know what they're going to do. At least the Jets and Packers have an idea of, you know, what the roster is going to look like. But the Ravens, they're not going to spend on a lot of weapons with, you know, knowing that Snoop Huntley is now the only quarterback that you know is going to be on your roster next season.
It makes me feel good, honestly. You know, I hate and fear the Ravens. I think like a sailor does the sea, and anything that weakens that roster is all right by me.
They've lost a lot of talent. And again, they haven't brought much in yet. They've got a really strong defense, but this is 20 some odd years of them having a really good defense and just an incomplete offense.
Yeah.
Everyone talks about them having like this awesome, fantastic front office. Do they? Like, yeah, they've won two titles, and that's, you know, two more than the Bengals have ever won in their history, but they're incomplete rosters. Like, they're missing.
Yeah. I wish somebody would just hand the Bengals a free all pro linebacker in the middle of the season, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be quite nice.
Like, that was kind of a cool deal for them.
And then the Bears go back out and overpay for someone who's half as good as Roquan Smith for, comparable money. They're just throwing some money out there.
Here's weird stuff. You know, I mean, as like, we'll get into the Bengals moves and everything, but like, as spun up, like, I had this battle inside of me all week, right? Like, getting spun up, calming myself down. Why aren't they doing anything?
Yeah.
Trust them.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing, you know, like back and forth all week and until whatever, late last night. And, but you look around, if you really pay attention to what other teams are doing, there's some dumb stuff happening.
Yeah.
Like bad moves. Like, I don't know the last time the Bengals sometimes don't make a good move.
Yeah.
But it's much rarer that they make a bad move, like a mistake signing. Like, it's been a while.
The only one that comes to mind, I mean, first off, they've never made big signings until the last handful of years. So when you're bargain based, you know.
Right. Trey Waynes doesn't work out.
Well, he was going to be my example, because he was actually a big money signing. He was, what, $14 million, you know, $12 or $14 million a year. But that was also, yeah, they knew they overpaid for him,
because
that's what they had to do. That was Burrow's rookie year, and, you know, you didn't know what you really had. And then the injuries, I mean, after you start getting injuries, you can't guarantee on the guy that you had beforehand showing back up. You can hope, but you know, there's no promise that guy's going to come back.
Did they sign or trade for Cordy Glenn?
That was a trade. They traded a draft pick swap, I believe. Okay. That was that didn't work out so well either, but
yeah, I mean, that's kind of a disaster of a transaction, but
yeah, but they would have blown the pick drafting an offensive lineman anyway. So
yeah,
I don't understand like a team that's had so many like great linemen, you know, I mean, at least a handful. I mean, Anthony Munoz is the greatest offensive lineman in history. Willie Anderson should be in the Hall of Fame, will be in the Hall of Fame. I think next year he'll get in the Hall of Fame. Whitworth will be in the Hall of Fame. Like, they've had
Max Montoya arguably should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he was great too. He was, you look at him as the downfall of the Bengals organization, because he was the first guy to leave as soon as they opened up free agency, but he was the harbinger of the dark decade of the 90s. But yeah, I mean, they've had some great linemen. And then just the past since
Zeitler?
Probably. And they didn't even try to keep him around. He left the same offseason that Whitworth left.
Yeah.
And I can defend, and then when people go back and rehash this, I can defend them not going all out for Whitworth. It was the wrong move. Clearly, you know, he still had plenty of years at an all-pro level. But you look at his age, and they had just drafted two guys. Fisher, I mean, oh boy, that was a bad draft pick. Fisher wasn't. I really think he would have panned out if he didn't have the heart issue. But they drafted those guys the year before, knowing that they were probably going to lose Whitworth. So that's why they tendered him. You know, just some.
That was just a weird thing, though, drafting two.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's like, I don't know about either one of these guys. I'm just going to take two.
Yeah.
And then you whiff on them both. Like, that, again, maybe you didn't whiff on Fisher, but.
Yeah. Hey, he was a decent fullback tight end, extra lineman for a couple catches. Everyone wanted to throw. Guy was athletic as hell for as big as he was. He was a freak. Anyway, back to I totally forgot where we were looking at our show notes. We're getting off track here. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, we got to go around the division a little bit here.
Yeah. On to the Browns, they've made some good moves. Three guys that they've signed from outside are three guys that I would have loved to have seen in stripes. Juan Thornhill, I think he would have been a good fit. Bengals clearly are in need of at least one safety. Dalvin Tomlinson, he would have been out of the Bengals price range, but he's he's been around for a little while, but he's still a very good player. And I'm not even going to try to attempt Okoronkwo. I'm not even going to try to attempt his
Ogbonia Okoronkwo.
Yeah, he's an edge from Tech. Like, he was a guy that I thought would be a nice pickup for the Bengals for a nice depth piece on the edge. Yeah, I would have been happy with any of those three guys. Browns are anointing themselves as the offseason Super Bowl champions for the 23rd year in a row, I believe.
Those moves, though. I'm with you. I think I like all three of those guys. I'm not – we'll see. You know, I'm still not worried about the Browns, though.
No. I mean, what are they going to do on offense? I mean, they're Nick Chubb is a great – I mean, he might be the best running back talent-wise and ability-wise in the entire league. Never mind, like, just taking away all the personal baggage and all the shit with Deshaun Watson, what faith do they have in him to – he was off for – he missed almost two complete seasons, but he was terrible.
He wasn't good.
No.
I mean, he was – yeah, I mean, he was – you want to talk about Andy Dalton. I mean, he's in that area with more – he's like Andy Dalton, more volatile.
Yeah, he was
– I didn't see anything good. That was the thing.
Yeah.
Like, I expected him to be rusty. I expected him to be inconsistent. But I didn't see any of, like, the ceiling with Watson. I just saw, like, a not that high floor and then, like, a sub-basement.
Yeah, I mean, he was abysmal. I mean, just bouncing passes – just underthrown everybody and just having zero pocket presence. And again, I'm not discounting all of the crap, but I mean, do you really expect that guy, you know, after all of the crap that he's gone through, warranted or otherwise, you're expecting that guy? They restructured his contract. He's making next year, like, or in 2023, I forget what he's making, not much. They restructured it so they had more cap space. In 24, 25, 26, this is all guaranteed. He's making $66 million a year.
I mean, they can fool around with it all they want, but someday they're going to have to – that's going to come due.
That's
and it's going to cripple them.
$200 million for a guy that was abysmal, just
awful. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's one thing for Mahomes and Allen and Burrow and, like, your top-tier guys, but – if he's going to play like middle or worse, just sink the whole thing.
And they're completely screwed. Like, they need him because he's – you can't restructure anymore. If you restructure next year, you're going to make him $100 million for the next – like, you put him on league minimum salary and then make $100 million in 25 and 6?
Right.
At some point, you're going to have to pay the guy. You guaranteed. Like, it's a guaranteed contract. I would almost structure it so that just take 1 year of tanking and pay him all this money up front and then get rid of him. So, you know, so it's cleared out. It's again, I don't feel bad for him. Always hated the Browns.
No, I don't. I don't feel bad for anybody involved in that whole thing.
No. And that's what's screwing up a lot of these quarterback deals, is that that guy got a guaranteed deal, and these other quarterbacks that are better and at least don't have the personal baggage aside are like, where's my guaranteed money? That's what Lamar Jackson's entire thing is trying to.
Yeah,
he's trying to get as much guaranteed as possible.
I think it's really interesting that it seems that the quarterbacks who stay with their organization seem to have a little more understanding for like the impact that they have. And they don't, you know, they want to leave a little bit of room for other guys. I'm assuming this. I know a lot of the guys are flexible in terms of restructures. We'll see what Burrow gets, but you know, I think some of these dudes, when they come in like off the street, it's just like, pay me. And they're not thinking about the money coming out of anybody else's pocket. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Mahomes' deal was structured beautifully. The Chiefs, they keep, you know, they restructured his deal again, but he's making enough money. He's going to make enough money. He's not going to get, they're not cutting that guy. They didn't get, you know, not everything is guaranteed, but he's going to get every penny and then some, besides all the, plus all the endorsement deals that, you know, that guy has on the side. I mean, he doesn't have to worry about money. Burrow's going to be kind of the same thing. Everyone's assuming he's going to take a, I don't want to say friendly, but a deal that's structured so that you can, you know, you can keep, you know, at least Chase, you know, hopefully hit these guys around. I would not blame him one bit if he took every damn penny. Like, you've got such a limited window. Someone's give you $500 million.
Yeah, I'm with him. Yeah, I'm with 100%, you know.
It's kind of funny that everyone just has this assumption. I mean, yeah, he seems like an absolute awesome dude, but he's one, like, do for yourself, man.
Yeah,
this league has a short time span.
It's less like what you get versus like how you work with him once you get to the number.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Having a little bit of flex, a little bit of like, all right, I can push it back a little bit, or I can move some things around. Like, I mean, it's funny to say this, but like at the amount those guys are getting paid, they're almost part owners of the team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and we'll get into this later, but I mean, Burrow is like a significant like stakeholder in the Cincinnati Bengals organization.
Yeah. His legacy is tied to the team, and his personal legacy are so intertwined.
Yeah. And he wants, you know, these guys are competitive and they want to win.
Yeah.
They know they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, a guy like Von Bell, super competitive, super great team guy.
Yeah.
But he has other considerations in his life. The dollar figure. He's like, all right, I'm going to bounce and get the money that I need and the situation I need. Yeah. That's fine. Joe Burrow's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So Joe Burrow has to think about like other things within the context of I'm on the Bengals.
Yeah.
I need this team to be good around me. I need this situation because I'm not just here to collect paychecks.
Exactly. Like, it's, do you want to be the best player or do you want to have the best team? I don't say the best player, but you know.
Well,
you know,
even that, I mean, yeah. If you're just throwing the ball off of the, you know, the back of the head of a bunch of chumps,
John Ross,
or worse, like there's nobody blocking for you.
Yeah, we've seen that, and we still got the Super Bowl with that. I still unbelievably so. No. Anyway, we must progress here. Now on to everyone's favorite team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're having a pretty solid week, too, I think, looking at the guys that they've brought in. Not as active. They've got more to do than other teams. They retained our old friend Larry Ogunjobi. He got a nice deal. He got the deal that he should have had last year. For those that don't remember, he had a nice it's like $28 million. I can't remember the exact size, but a nice-sized deal with the Bears. Came in for the physical, and there was something the matter with the foot that caused him to miss the playoffs for the Bengals that year. So, you know, he signed a one-year prove-it deal with the Steelers, and they brought him back in a three-year deal, big I think it was for same like 25, 28, somewhere around there with a lot of guaranteed money. So again, good guy, hardworking guy. I hate to see him doing well for the Steelers, but I'm happy to see that he got the contract he should have had last year. Another guy they brought in, guy that I would have been interested in, but nowhere near the money that that they shelled out. Patrick Peterson. He's going to be 33 years old. He's still a very high end cornerback. But he's 33 years old. Like I would be happy to have him in as a depth fourth cornerback, someone who's there to cover basically to take what Eli Apple was supposed to be there if Cheeto isn't ready for the beginning of the season and they're in substitution packages in nickel and dime. But again, they paid a big bunch of money. That's $14 million or something like that over 2 years for a guy that's going to be 34, 35 by the end of this deal. And that's risky.
They've got some weird elixir over there in Pittsburgh though, that like makes like big name dudes who you thought were done all of a sudden like come back. It's like the St. Louis Cardinals of football.
Voodoo devil magic. Yeah. Well, they let James Harrison go. He comes at the Bengals. He was cromulent. Then he goes back.
That's the word I was going with too. That was such a weird thing though. It just felt weird. It was like your parents got divorced and your mom brought a new stepdad into the house and he was like, I don't know. That was just the weird year.
I was going to say it's like the Reds bringing in Yadi Molina for a year.
Yeah.
And then going back to St. Louis the very next year. Like, did we root for this guy? Like,
what's going on?
It doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right. I'm not happy. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So anyway, I hope they're all terrible. Ogunjobi gets his money. So I hope he's just, you know, decent for the rest of his career. They brought in another offensive guard. They brought in a linebacker from Washington. Whatever. They'll be fine. Like Mike Tomlin is a fantastic coach. He turned 2 years of just an absolute terrible roster into somehow the playoffs in 2021 and 9-8 last year with starting a good chunk of the games with Mitch Trubisky. That whole thing still weirds me out that they even started that guy over Kenny Pickett. I mean, Pickett wasn't great. I mean, he got better as the year went on, but Mitchell Trubisky, like they thought that he had turned into something good because he rode the pine behind Josh Allen.
Well, what? Yeah. I mean, but he was what, a number three overall pick or some insane thing like that?
I think it was third. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand teams do that. Like, I mean, they know what they see Pickett. They know what he's ready or he's not, but you roll Mitch out there. Like that's to me, like a tanking move.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to win this game. Here.
Well, and his numbers were terrible. I mean, they barely the Bengals absolutely gave them the game in week one. That should have been an absolute curb stomp.
Yep.
That it hinged on a blocked extra point that may or may not that if they had their actual long snapper that most likely is a cleaner operation and most definitely on the missed field goal in overtime. Like that should have been a 24-point game. And because they had just a terrible ran that scrub out.
You talked to the guy who threw four picks.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's one of those games that's never going to happen again.
That was just weird. I mean, you know, I was down there and I just look like that dude's not right. Like Joe is not ready. You know, between the completely new offensive line and the appendectomy, he was just jittery and off foot the whole night, the whole afternoon.
The vibe was weird. And again, I was, you know, just watching at home, just the whole vibe. It just nothing looked right. Every snap, there were three guys in his lap, and even when he didn't, he was seeing ghosts. And it, you know,
yeah,
just weird.
He
game.
Just like the, you know, the figured out, but happy feet or whatever.
Yeah, thank God that like that. You worry about that. I mean, some guys you see that happen, and it sticks with them, and that's you know you're struggling for half the season with that. He got you know the more he got his strength back, and the offensive line got settled and more assimilated to each other, that you know the offense went off at kicking, but yeah, that was really concerning, not going to lie. Well, now we're reaching the fun part of this week, the topic of the week. It's Bengals free agency. They were very, very, very concerningly quiet for the first couple of days. I don't know how you felt. You're trying to balance, like, the Bengals of the past two seasons. This isn't who they've ever been. Like, going out last year, they had Alex Kappa signed at 12:01, like literally a minute after the legal tampering. Like, and then what, 10 minutes later, they had Ted Karras under agreed to too. But like, that's not the that's not 50 years of Bengals history. So it's kind of, we can't expect these guys to be signed immediately. But then it's like, you need to sign somebody.
Well, yeah, like all week long, I said this earlier, like, I think before they came on the air, like, I was fighting myself. You know, I was like, I'm getting impatient. Calm down. They know what they're doing. I'm getting impatient. And then, you know, little stuff would happen, like, like the Von Bell departure.
Yeah.
You know, from what I can see, the contract Von Bell got was not unreasonable. And for a guy who was supposed to be such an important part of the Bengals roster, I'm like, well, what are we doing here? You know, they signed Jermaine Pratt, which surprised me.
Absolutely.
At, you know, I thought a good price, I guess. But yeah, you know, all week long, I'm like, come on, what is happening here? This is, and I knew, like, for a month, I'm like, it's not going to be like last year.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like last year. Jesse Bates is leaving. Like, all that I'd gotten. But, yeah, those first 3 days were just a battle between the angel and the devil on my shoulders.
And we'll go into real first who's left. Like who left the team assigned elsewhere. Aforementioned Von Bell signed with Carolina, 3 years, $22.5 million. Hayden Hurst signed with Carolina, 3 years, $21.75 million. Similar contracts. The main reason, and again, I'm trying to look at it as I'm seeing all these names go off the board and then seeing, you know, guys that I like, but guys that I was okay with moving on. You look at their age. Von Bell isn't old. He's 28, but that contract is going to carry him past the age 30. New Bengals, like, they're not signing Geno Atkins, as great as he was, Carlos Dunlap, they're not signing these guys to third contracts. So they're not keeping, you know, they're going to let a guy walk after his second contract if they keep him around and get someone younger. And that's, I think that's a smart move. And Hayden Hurst is 30 years old already. He's only going into his fifth season in the NFL, but he played minor league baseball. He was a late entry in the draft. He was 25, 26 years old when he was drafted. So, again, like, I understand them letting these guys go. They're getting old, and it's a,
you know, good for her. Good for them for getting paid, yeah, too.
Exactly. Joe Burrow is showing he can get tight ends with a 1 year on their deal paid.
Yeah. I think that's a real thing. We might see it before the week's out. A new tight end come to town who is on, got that in mind.
That's exactly what I'm expecting. We'll get into some names here in a little bit when we get to that. But Jesse Bates going to Atlanta, 4 years, $64 million. He's making the exact same money that Orlando Brown is making. And again, we'll get to him in a bit. But do you rather have a, I'm not going to say franchise tackle, but a consistent, reliable tackle or safety?
Well, dude's been in the Pro Bowl 4 years.
Yeah. And he's only 25.
Jesse's years old. Really he's good. Old. But has not been in the Pro Bowl four times.
Exactly. And
one position is obviously way more important than the other.
Exactly. We knew Bates was going to go. We knew going into, you know, as soon as round one of the NFL draft, we knew Bates was going to be around this last year, and that was it. I mean, they tried to work out a contract with him going into his fourth year when he was eligible for an extension. Couldn't get one done. He admitted that affected his play that season. Bengals made it to the Super Bowl, but he was not very good until they hit the playoffs. Now, he was fantastic to the playoffs, but he didn't play very well. They tried to work out a long-term deal before the franchise tag deadline last season before the, you know, last winter after the season, couldn't get one done. They tagged him. And at that point, when they tagged him, you know, that's it. He's going to play this last season and then, you know, go out and make your money. Then they went and drafted Dax Hill. Again, that right there. Well, there's your replacement. He's sitting behind you in the defensive back room. So him going out and getting a good deal, again, good on you. I have no bad words to say about Jesse Bates III. He fantastic player. Seems like just an absolute upstanding, awesome dude. And go make a legacy for yourself. But I'm okay with that one. One that I think shocked a lot of us, Samaje Perine going to Denver. 2 years, $7.5 million. The money wasn't bad. It's not like it was I think this is money that the Bengals would have done. He's not a replacement. Like, he's not your running back one. He's got, doesn't have much explosion. He's okay in the passing game. He's a great blocker. But you know what you have with him. I mean, he's a great locker room presence. I think it surprised the hell out of them when he actually signed that deal with Denver. What do you think?
Well, it surprised the hell out of me. And I think that's one where I got worried, because I think we all assume Joe Mixon is probably going to be a cap casualty and is not with this team. So, you know, plan B or plan A, I guess, for me was Perine and some help. Perine and a different kind of back to pair with him. Yeah. But Perine and then he signs with a team where the numbers aren't, they're not astronomical. Nobody, the Broncos didn't go nuts to pay him. Yeah. I mean, that's, is that fair money for a guy who's going to do 25% or 30% of your carries and snaps? I think so. So I don't know what is going on. I mean, yeah, I feel like, set aside the like NFLPA's weird vendetta against the Bengals, but I feel like the organization has earned the benefit of the doubt for the guys who know it. Yeah. And it would surprise me if Samaje Perine was like, well, Bengals haven't called yet. The money's, I've got this money I want. I'm going to Denver. Whatever, you know, what let's ride, or whatever the hell Wilson says.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. So that to me says the Bengals decided that Perine wasn't worth it at that money, which is a weird decision to me when there's no like obvious other plan taking shape. When, you know, Jamal Williams signs with the Saints.
Yeah.
And a couple other guys who you have your eye on start signing other places. You're like, I don't get it. I don't know what the plan is here. It's not, I don't want to, you know, scoop spoiler here, but it's not Trevion Williams. Ain't it?
Yeah.
I hope.
Probably not. Yeah. I had imagined it when free and she's, you know, when Monday at noon, I had expected them to either retain Perine or get Williams. They're very similar backs. Neither one of them, again, they're neither are great in the passing game, but they're both outstanding blocking backs. As great as Perine was, Jamal Williams is probably the best blocking back in the NFL. His numbers, if you look at his blocking grades on PFF and everything, like he can pick up the he can pick up the blitzer, he can pick up someone coming in the middle. He's great, but he's neither of them are explosive, and that's something that obviously they need and what they want. But again, like you can't expect everyone in that running back room to be a home run hitter. So I'd assume one of those guys would be around. That they're not, it's not concerning at all. Cause again, they still have Mixon, and Mixon is a good, you know, pass catcher. He's a decent, you know, he's a good running back. I'm not going to, you know, say he's terrible. He's awful blocking, but he's still on the
roster. They can get a guy who can block like that they can go get real cheap.
Get a fullback. If you really
right,
want.
Right. Know. If you, yeah.
Apparently those guys aren't extinct. I looked and I can't find the last time the Bengals had an actual fullback on the roster. I think they had a tight end.
It's like Derek Finner or something.
I was going to go with Lorenzo Neal. That was 2002. Derek Finner. Wow. That was 93 maybe.
Probably.
He was awesome in, he was on the Seahawks in Tecmo Super Bowl, and he was actually pretty good back. Steve Broussard. Was it Broussard?
I was no. Chiefs Christian Okoye guy myself.
See, that was the Chiefs for my team. I would I played with like all the different teams, but the Chiefs for my team, I would put there's a wide receiver, Rob Thomas. I would move him to tight end and put
two B's
there. What's that?
Two B's. Rob with two B's.
Yeah, Rob with two B's. Robaba Thomas. They were a fun team. You had Derek Thomas. You couldn't use the cheat code of Bo Jackson, so you couldn't use the
right. The Raiders were banned.
Yeah. Chiefs were definitely they were probably my most fun team. Eagles were good too because you ran around with Randall or QB Eagles like a madman, then threw 120 yard bombs to tight end Keith Jackson and sitting in the end zone. Where were we? Oh yeah, fullback.
Trayvon Williams.
Finding someone who can pick up the blitz. Like again, Bengals did bring back Trayvon Williams. He was fantastic kick returner. I think he's going to get a little more of a role, especially with apparently in the running back room is going to be pretty flipped. And again, we're both pretty sure that Mixon is going to get completely released. I don't think Bengals don't restructure. Like I don't think
Mixon restructures.
Yeah. That's the one thing that I wish that I think that's the next thing that they need to work that they need to do is start learning how to restructure contracts. But yeah, I mean, at some point, we're pretty sure.
Yeah. I feel like they see things in black and white a lot of times, and a deal's a deal.
Yeah.
And if it's no longer the deal that we all agreed to, then it's no deal at all. That feels like the mentality, which is like really admirable in my opinion. Like, I think they stick with guys sometimes that other teams other teams might renegotiate down. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or like try to leverage guys and they don't do that. So what do you like Trayvon Williams is a guy who I don't quite get it. Like, he's all right. He did okay at kick returns, but like, am I asking too much, like, that every person in the roster have either be really good or have the potential to be really good? And, like, if they don't, then you cycle them out.
Yeah, he's pretty low ceiling. But, again, you have to keep those guys around. And I honestly, I think, and maybe it's part of because P. Ryan signed elsewhere, and because Mixon might be out the door, they want some continuity. There's someone that they at least know what he brings to the table because they're probably going to sign some low-dollar veteran here soon, and they're most definitely going to draft somebody. So you keep someone that you know he's got a good – you know he's good on special teams. He's a really good kick returner. And he's done okay. I don't have his career numbers in front, but he's – probably averaging 4 yards a carry. I mean, that's not nothing.
I guess I'm like, I'm looking at this and I'm like, what's the difference between Chris Evans and Trayvon Williams?
They Chris Evans has, I don't know what has transpired. He's completely out of the, he's out of the conversation,
but he's still on the roster.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't make it through training camp. Second year play. Was he fifth round, sixth round? I know he was
sixth. They were both sixth round picks.
Okay. I know Chris Evans was a day three pick. I mean, he still has two more years and he's low cost. So it's, it doesn't cost anything to keep him around. So just see if he, picked anything else up. But yeah, he's no longer the kick returner. I couldn't tell you the last time I saw him on the field on a meaningful down. And he's dynamite receiver, and that's the thing. Like he runs routes like a wide receiver.
Yeah, that whole preseason was so weird because he got so much run, and to me in the stands, I'm like, man, he looks good.
Yeah.
Now it turned out there was like a hold on every play that he had a big gain, like a bad hold. But I don't ever remember like the fans' reaction being so different. I think Joe might have passed out. The fans' reaction being so different from the organizations. Because they watched the preseason and they were like, not impressed. Nope. And then they watched him return kicks for the first 4 weeks. And they were like, we're done. So yeah, I don't know what he did in that building, but he seems to have coming out of favor for sure.
Yeah, it was really weird because he was the, you know, the first couple games in preseason, he was the star on offense, and Dax Hill was the star on defense. I mean, that guy was everywhere. You're like, dude, this guy's gonna be on, you know, 30 snaps. They're gonna find a way to put him on the field.
Yeah,
23 snaps every game. You know, Lou Anarumo was coy about, you know, all, you know, talking about a game plan for him, and then season comes and you're like,
who?
You're looking at the actives, and like he's not injured, right? Yeah, he's healthy. He's dressed.
Yeah, it was like week three when he actually. I feel like he didn't even play like a snap till week three.
Probably not.
I don't know. You know what? They're both Michigan men.
That's the, you know, I mean, I'm not an Ohio State guy either, so I don't, you know, but.
Well, I'm just going to say that I don't know when the last time the Bengals had success with a Michigan draftee.
Tony McGee.
Leon Hall.
Okay.
It was Tony McGee or Leon Hall.
Yeah, Leon Hall. Leon Hall was more recent, and Leon Hall was really good.
Yeah, but they've had some duds.
Chris Perry.
Dehani Jones is a Michigan guy, right?
Who?
He wasn't a draft pick, but yeah, was Dehani Jones a Michigan guy?
Yeah, he was a Michigan guy. Yeah. He was a better TV host than he was a player. You ever watch his show?
Fair. It was good.
Yeah,
it was a lot of interesting guy.
He's a very thoughtful and interesting guy. Plus, with all the bow ties, I mean, you know, he's a cool dude, but
yeah,
he was around longer than he needed to be just because they had nobody else. But yeah, so
my sister-in-law was a big fan.
Yeah. I mentioned Travion Williams. We'll go over the other guys who the Bengals retained this since free agency. We know Joe Bachy and Jalen Davis signed last week. They brought back Mike Thomas, special teams captain, stalwart, Uncle Mike. Everybody loves that guy. Again, he's probably not going to see the field more than a handful of snaps, you know, in blowouts or, you know, playing some crazy dime defense or anything. But he's a guy that, you know, absolute energy guy that you need to have on your team. Again, special teams captain, that says a lot about how the team and how Darren Simmons thinks about him. Jermaine Pratt back 3 years, $21 million. I was surprised when I saw that pop up on Twitter that they brought back Jermaine Pratt. I was sure he was gone. He didn't seem like he wanted to. I don't say didn't seem like he wanted to, but you look at guys that, I don't know, you read into a lot of what, you know, you assume everything they put on social media is referring to football. And he made a couple of clearly football related stuff about, you know, third downs and about wanting to play more on third downs. And you're like, all right, you know, this guy's time is come and gone. It's, you know, had a great season. Go out and get your, you know, go out and get your paycheck.
He seemed like he wanted to get a bag. And like that was the number one, two, and three consideration for him.
Yeah.
And number four was playing on third downs. So the fact that he just like signed right away, he was like, I'm back. I was stunned. I was like, he's gone. I had, you know, sour grapes it a little bit. I'm like, good riddance. I'm fine. I didn't love the tweeting. I didn't love the post AFC championship outburst.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, I hate it, but I didn't love it. So right. I talked myself into like, all right, Pratt's gone. That's cool. ADG is a good linebacker. We'll draft another one.
Yeah. They had, you know, they've got guys that are in that room that, you know, that they can fill in. He got taken off the field on third down, so it's the only need guy for two, you know, for two downs. But it's a reasonable deal. I think he saw that the linebacker market wasn't really materializing. Guys weren't getting a lot of money, and he might have been able to make a little bit more. I'm sure he could. I mean, the Bengals don't really guarantee much outside of the first year, and that's been a big sticking point until someone we'll talk about here shortly. But he got a reasonable deal and probably, you know, probably just feels comfortable here. And, you know,
well, how about this? How about the idea that everybody else sees his Twitter account and sees, you know, him screaming. And again, that's not real bad. Like he's not even Eli Apple bad.
No,
but the folks down in Cincinnati know what he's actually like as a teammate.
Yeah.
And they keep vouching for him. And don't get bothered at all by this stuff. And I guess I didn't even know about the apology until after he re-signed. But, you know, a pretty decent apology after the game about going off on Osai the next day. Maybe the Bengals value him more than anybody else would.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, the Bengals are, the, I mean, of any team in the NFL, the Bengals value loyalty as much, if not more, you know. I mean, they're, again, we, like we talked about it, they don't cut guys. Like they would keep guys around for extra contracts, or they would let them play out their contract instead of renegotiating or, you know, eating dead money to get someone who's just clearly on the back nine of their career. He had a fantastic year. I mean, he's every year. I don't know if he's still ascending. I mean, he was one of the top dozen or so linebackers in the entire league. You wonder, everyone had assumed that Logan Wilson was going to get an extension. He's eligible for one now. Everyone had assumed that he would get one, if not this offseason, then, you know, they wouldn't let him hit free agency next year. I wonder if that's changed. I wonder if, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
They promised Brad anything, but.
Well, it's hard, you know. I've learned a lesson over the years. I learned this lesson from a linebacker, Steve Foley, who was just a guy when he was on the Bengals.
Yeah.
And then he gets in a different team, a different system, a different scheme with the Chargers and became, you know, an elite pass rusher.
Yeah.
And that's when I realized, like, you don't know how good a guy really is if you only watch him on one team, because you don't know what he's being asked to do.
Yeah.
But after watching this year, I'm not sure that Logan Wilson's better than Jermaine Pratt.
You look at and his coverage numbers, like he was the second or third best linebacker in coverage. Jermaine Pratt was. I'm not going to disagree with the coaches that put Logan Wilson out there and more, because Wilson's good in pass coverage too. But you wonder if it's he realized, like, these coaches know what the hell they're doing. Like, I'm getting a lot of money because they put me in the right situation.
Yeah.
Guys get exposed if they're asked to do too much. And you wonder if that's a lot of it. And he realizes, like, these guys, you know.
What's the difference? What's the difference if you're going to make $7 million if you play third down or not?
Yeah. You get, you know, you're getting paid that much and having to do that much less. But,
yeah,
it's a handful less cool snaps a week to put your body through.
I'll take Thursdays off.
I mean, I could do okay with $7 million a year.
Yeah.
I think that we hit everybody. Can't forget everyone's favorite kneel down backflip champion, Trent Taylor. He's back. Yippee. I mean, he's
is anything in that contract guaranteed?
Taylor's probably not. I haven't seen any of the actual numbers, and I'm sure it's for, you know, chicken scratch. You know, I'm gonna say chicken scratch. I mean,
whatever the minimum veteran is.
Yeah. And probably not, because he's still, the fifth receiver.
But he's the punt returner, and there's stability in the special teams, right?
Yeah, exactly. He's a special teamer, and, you know, he might see the field a dozen snaps a year.
Right. They got to go find a punter.
What's that?
They got to go find a punter, but everything else about the, you know, the specialist is locked down.
Yeah. Please, God, bring a punter in. You know, let's go get Tommy Townsend from Kansas City, or draft, you know, punters don't cost enough money to piss one away, you know, spend on a good one if they're available, or go draft one. You find one, draft one. Like, don't deal with crap. They dealt with, I like Kevin Huber. My cousin was his long snapper at UC for a year or two. He was around too long. Like, they just kept him just because
loyalty.
He's not terrible until he became terrible, and they replaced him with someone who was a different kind of terrible.
Yeah, they should have had a better option than those two dudes in the room.
Yeah,
in August,
and I guarantee they will this year. But that's, you know, again, it's punter. That's something that'll be undrafted free agent or sixth, seventh rounder, or again, you sign. You know, there's a couple, you know, a handful of guys that are available out there. So, back to who's, you know, done with who's back now. Who do we have new on the roster this year, Chris?
We have Orlando Brown.
Who?
Orlando Brown Jr.
Yes. Were you awake when that came down? I was
up late last night. I don't know what I was doing. Something. Oh, I was putting my March Madness bracket in, and like like a clown. I watched probably 10 games this year, and I was up there like a clown, like looking at KenPom numbers and trying to make all these choices. My kids are laughing at me. They're like, what are you doing? You don't know any of these teams. So anyway, yeah. And I got in bed and I looked at my phone and I was like, what? What? You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I was watching TV. My wife had fallen asleep and I was just in bed and I, you know, just keeping track, just seeing, you know, usually this time of night was at 11 o'clock, I think, or somewhere around 11 o'clock when it came down. You're going to see news of just guys that they might be interested in or if anyone's going to be coming in for a free agent visit. And so I'm getting ready, you know, all right, I'm about to turn TV off. Let's just look one last time. And then I start seeing all of this stuff, like kind of more cryptic tweets than anything else. And from Bengal Follows, and I'm like, so, you know, I'm waiting another second. I'm like, wait a minute, what? and it's like, they're actually committing to having a good offensive line. Like, this is someone that they weren't even mentioned. Like, no one had any idea that they were even in the conversation to have this guy. No one assumed that they would put this much money out. Like, they went outside their comfort level. This was the biggest signing bonus ever given to any offensive lineman in history.
I looked at somebody, I think Joe Goodberry had put, like, the remaining free agents – a list of the remaining free agents up at like 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And I was working out and I'm looking at it and I'm like, all right, we're down into tier three. And there's like a couple spots up and like Orlando Brown way at the top. And I was like, I'm skipping that. That's no longer, that's not relevant for us. Like, I got to look at tier three. And I believe I referred to it on Twitter as like the backwash of free agency.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not going to get anything fresh and clean here. You know, but if you need it, you got to do it. And just blew my mind.
Absolutely. There was earlier in the day, Patrick Mahomes restructured his contract. Like, well, they're going to go and bring Orlando Brown back. They're going to, you know, they've got Brown and Taylor as their offensive, you know, as their bookends. Okay. And then seeing like, wow, we went above and beyond. They won a bidding war for this guy. And that's, apparently the Steelers were in on him. Like, a couple teams were in that, like, okay. These are teams like Bengals guaranteed money into the second year. They never guarantee money into the second year of a contract. Like, these
they're going to pay him what, $31
million? That's the signing bonus. $31 million
on Sunday.
That's I believe over two thirds, like 46, something like that is guaranteed.
Yeah. I mean, the next 2 years is really low in terms of cash, which is what they need to do because, and this is like the inverse of what we talked about with Burrow. It's like, would you mind accepting half the money up front so that we have better cash flow in the out years?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think anybody's going to – but that's smart, right? I mean, that's like the really brilliant move. Like, okay, we have Burrow coming on, but for right now it's this. So here, take all this money now.
Yeah, Burrow's going to get paid, but his big money isn't coming until 25. Yeah. Bengals have his rights through 24 anyway with the fifth year option. So quarterbacks, their big money doesn't come until year three of their extension. So they have two, you know, yeah, he's going to sign for $500 million, but he's going to be reasonably priced for the next 2 years after his signing bonus. Again, they're paying him, you know, when you average it out, the same that the Reds paid for Mike Moustakas. 4 years, $64 million.
Well, they're roughly the same size.
I was just going to say they're about the same size. Both came from Kansas City, but.
Oh, brutal. Yeah, I mean, look, like, this is super exciting. I mean, this is, like, you want to talk about fixing the line? This is fixing the line.
Yeah.
You want to say, like, what Joe Burrow wants, Joe Burrow gets?
Yeah.
This may be a case of it. Am I a little bit worried about, like, all the eggs being in one big basket that could get hurt? That I don't know this dude. I mean, he seems a little bit, like, I'll say volatile, but, like, he's got opinions.
Yeah.
I hope he's, like, going to show up and bust his ass. You know, but I have no reason to believe he's not. But, like, this is awesome.
he's durable. He's missed one start in his career. And again, he's not Trent Williams. He's not the absolute, you know, you put him in there and your quarterback's not, you know, he's going to walk out with an absolutely clean jersey. He's probably top 10, top dozen left tackle, which is Bengals haven't had that tackle since Whitworth after 2015.
Yeah. I mean, what, he's a B plus instead of an A.
Yeah. He's replacing.
We've been playing with C minuses.
Yeah. And that's the thing. They have a left tackle. Jonah Williams, Jonah Williams is, he's fine. Like, he gave up a lot of sacks, but you look at the amount of pressures he gave up, it really wasn't that abnormal. The amount of pressures that turned into sacks was weird, but he didn't give up. His number of pressures, I think, were comparable to what Orlando Brown gave up, but they had a decent left tackle and they said, fuck it. We got a better guy out there. We're gonna bring this guy in and then we'll figure out what to do with
insane. And the numbers aren't crazy. Like, it's a huge bite up front, and it's more than the Bengals have done and all that. But like, I just saw on Twitter 5 minutes ago, somebody said it might be the most team friendly deal of the offseason.
He's making $5 million less than what Juwan Taylor is, who's moving from right side to left side. Juwan Taylor's never played left side. Like,
he's making less. He's making less than the Chiefs offered him last year, right?
A lot less. They offered him, it was 6 years, like 100. It was a huge deal that they turned down. I don't know where the guarantees are, but the total size of the full deal, if you know every penny was paid out, was probably half as to what was originally offered.
Now he's got to duel it out with Pratt for the number 57.
His other
which
number
should
was
be interesting.
Yeah, his number in Baltimore was.
What was it?
78.
Oh well.
It's like, so do you go to 75? Do you do an inverse?
Yeah, what's halfway in between, dude?
Yeah, it's, you know, like, he'll get something figured out. And I actually saw someone say, like, that Munoz would allow him to wear. Like, don't make him do that.
No,
like,
no. Let's not do that.
That never needs to be, you know.
I saw on the list of rules proposals in the offseason, I think Detroit or somebody is offered up a rule that, like, people can wear number zero.
Yeah.
So let's put that through and let him be the first zero.
6'7", 350 pounds.
That's right. Maybe zero. Yeah, it's a little bitty number on there.
Just number one. He needs to trade with
I was just gonna say the same thing. Like, just a thin little, talk to Jamar.
Hey, I got a deal for you, man. I'll give you my entire signing bonus. You give me your number.
Yeah. It might be, yeah. So he's got him and Pratt have negotiating capital right now.
We'll go 75 and just split. I don't think there's a 75 on the roster. A couple other guys the Bengals have signed today. Offensive guard Cody Ford last played in Arizona. He was drafted by Buffalo. Bengals were high on him in the draft in 2019, I think. Obviously, he went Buffalo ahead of them. Him taking over the guard spot, the starting spot, is what gave them Quentin Spain in 2020. They released him.
Oh, okay.
He's nothing more than a depth piece at this point. He's been pretty bad if you look at just at the production, but he's someone who's got a pedigree and, you know, he's just a depth piece. It's maybe Max Sharping, you know, or maybe it tells you how they really feel about Jack Carman that they're bringing, you know, that they're not getting rid of a tackle and then bringing another guard.
Are all those dudes still like under employment by the Bengals? Like Sharping, Identity.
Sharping's
gone. Okay, so Sharping, they have to sign back.
Yeah.
Adeniji, Carmen, Dante Smith, Trey Hill.
Yeah, Adeniji is going into his fourth year. Trey Hill, Dante Smith, Jack Carmen are all the same draft, so they're going into their third year. So they've got a couple more years. Other guy I want to talk about real quick that reported that they're not finished, but they're, I don't want to say close on a deal, but he was in earlier on a visit this year. Everything went real well. They're talking numbers. Nick Scott, who's a strong safety from the Rams. He's a lot of the Von Bell mold, at least when Von Bell came into the system. not a huge guy. He's like 5'10", 200 pounds, but he's a hitter. If you watch some of the video of him, he can absolutely lay the wood.
I love it.
Yeah. And I wouldn't expect him to have that big of a cost. So
since that deal wasn't done, I mean, I know it was kind of like reporting on it was kind of like back and forth today.
Yeah.
Was there any numbers or years thrown around it?
I only saw multi.
Okay. What's really interesting about it, I looked the guy up. I'm not that familiar with him. He's 5 months younger than Von Bell.
Yeah.
But he was drafted like 3 years later.
Yeah.
So he's got like, you know, I don't know what that means. Like he's a little older, but he doesn't have the mileage.
Yeah. I don't know because they have visits set up with other safeties. Actually his running
mate. His teammate, right?
Yeah. His teammate is running mate in the backfield. Taylor Rapp's coming into town tomorrow. I don't know what that means. If that's like, you look at at Scott's profile, he's crazy athletic, but again, he hasn't been very good in coverage. You would wonder if he might be a depth thing and they're still looking at Rapp, even if they do sign him. Like, that would be exciting to me if they sign both of these guys. Their three safety looks.
You got guys that got rings.
Yeah.
They got experience. They know Zach.
Yeah. They, they're familiar with, you know, with Zach's tree as it was. I don't know if these guys actually, were these guys actually around when he was around? I don't think so.
Well, I think Scott was drafted in 19.
That was
so he should have still been there then, right?
Year 19. That was Taylor's first year here.
Oh, was he? You're right.
That was the awesome 2-14 tank for Tua season.
Tank
became blow for Burrow.
Yeah, I think 2019 draft for him.
Okay.
So I guess he doesn't, unless you know, they got to be good buddies at the joint training camp last year.
Yeah, that went over real well for all those involved. But I mean, obviously, if he's coming, you know, he's hearing good things about the organization from, and there's a lot of crossover between the two teams outside of Aaron Donald's helmet crossing over to I don't remember who was it Volson?
Was it Volson? I don't know who
it was. Who ate it? He got a couple swinging helmets. How that dude avoided getting any sort of suspension is.
That was like the league's just like, what happens at training camp stays at training camp. I don't know. That's between y'all.
Like, homie, that's assault, man.
Yeah. They're like, no, well, if, you know, if the Rams didn't suspend him, then Taylor Rapp was also a 2019 draftee. So
okay,
those dudes are classmates, but somehow wouldn't know Zach. And is there any – buddy else on staff that came from the Rams?
I don't think so. Not that would have been around from that time. The staff, I mean, the staff has been crazy static for the tank. Like, I can't believe that at least the coordinators and a lot of the position coaches have been around as long as they have. It's weird for a team that's been successful, but I don't think any of them would have crossed paths with them. Yeah. I know Scott was a seventh rounder, worked his way through special teamers and started wasn't even a starter until the playoffs last year, and Rams playoffs last year went pretty well. I don't know if you guys remember, they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, and I mean that those guys, that's a fire sale out there. It's like everything must go.
Yeah. But yeah. So who knows where that's going to end up? I think it was a little premature that they anything is agreed. I think things are at least lending themselves to believe that he'll be signed at some point. Again, I'm curious to see what that means for Rapp. I would love to have them both. Again, I don't think either one of them is going to cost a lot of money. We'll kind of dovetail. Those are the only guys that the Bengals have under contract or almost under contract. We'll move on to kind of guys coming in and what do they still need? Again, Taylor Rapp, if they could sign both of those guys, I think you'd have a pretty dynamic secondary. If Cheeto's back and, you know, you've got Cam Taylor-Britt, there's a lot of talent back there.
Don't forget my man Mike.
Uncle Mike?
No, Mike Hilton.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I'm not forgetting.
I got an Ole Miss Hilton jersey I'm ready to break out here for the season.
See, the problem is it's still too raw because he was used and abused by Kansas City.
Let's not worry about that particular scheme.
But if you know you have more, you know you have more depth, and you know you're not putting 5 foot two Mike Hilton on places where he's covering tight ends or
bigger
wide receivers. But yeah, looking at the roster, what they still need, again, they still need a safety. They may have one close to a contract. They've got another guy coming in. There's a couple guys out that I think would be decent fits. John Johnson of the Browns was terrible. They signed him. They thought that was a huge signing. He was terrible for them. I think he still has more in there. Anything that anyone does with the Browns, you take with a grain of salt. That culture is just so foobar. The other guy that has kind of been the high profile, and I don't even know how much of an actual target he is of the Bengals. There's been a lot of like Bengals players flirting with this guy, like people doing these jersey swaps. First off, what's your thought on these weird jersey swaps that they do?
I this feels like the most awkward thing I could ever imagine.
It's weird as hell. I hate it.
Like, what is a guy gonna just like? Some dude is gonna go up to like Tom Brady, and be like, "Hey, bro, you want to trade?" He's like, "You're the who are you? You backup outside linebacker? Turn around, let me see your name. I don't even know what number you are." Like, it just seems so weird to me. Like, it's cool when it's like two Hall of Famers trading.
No, I meant like not the jersey. Like, I mean, when you see guys online, like they're putting like photoshopping different jerseys on these guys.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant like the post game thing. Like that always just seems weird to me.
Yeah, I mean, it is funny when you see guys turn that down. Like, yeah, no, I'm not trading jerseys with you.
Yeah, no, thank you.
I tried to do that with Chase, and he shot him down.
Who did?
I can't remember. Someone on the Bengals. I think it was Chase. Somebody went tried to swap with him, and he's like, I'm good, man.
It's on real tight. I can't get it off. I haven't seen – like, I've seen that stuff all over Twitter, but I didn't know the players were doing it. That's weird.
They're sharing doing it. Like, people are doing it, and then they're, like, mentioning – you know, they're adding these players – you know, they're mentioning the players and everything, and then the Bengals players are, you know
– I mean, I'm like, these are 23-year-old dudes who are idiots.
Yeah.
So, like, what do I expect?
Right.
But, like, Cam Taylor-Britt last night implied that Gardner Johnson is coming to the Bengals.
Yeah, that seemed pretty, like, it wasn't, like, there was no subterfuge. That seemed pretty
clear. No, it wasn't like, come on, or stay tuned. It was like,
oh, no, he's going to be here tomorrow. He's got mine cleaning out the locker next to me for him.
Yeah. Eli Apple, yeah. You know, I don't know what was going on. I'm like digging into Cam Taylor Britt's Twitter feed to be like, what's he normally like? Is he normally like just say stuff for no reason? Is he like real serious on here? Like, what's the deal? I don't know. Hilton's he didn't sign the night, so I guess.
Yeah, Hilton's done a lot of stuff. He's in – Mike Gesicki has the other position the Bengals definitely need somebody as a tight end. Mike Gesicki is – I don't know who the Bengals have talked to. There's been absolutely no word – of any of these guys that are actual targets or who they've talked to or bringing in. They mentioned, oh, you know, Gesicki is aware that number 88 is available, which is his jersey. Hilton's like adding him, you know, just like, again, it's like weird last call at the bar flirting. You know, it's really like weird and awkward because then you're like checking out these guys' timelines. Are they commenting on other stuff? They're like, these targets are reposting that shit, and it's like,
what? Yeah, it's just weird to me.
They like, I would like to have Gesicki just so that Jamar can smack him around, like, quit doing that bastardized version of the gritty because he looks like a damn fool. That's the worst thing. Like, that is the worst.
Oh, I mean, does it matter? So what I've heard about him is like, great receiver, lousy blocker. Like that's kind of the line on him.
Yeah, he is not. Yeah, I mean, he's not an inline tight end. He's a large wide receiver. I don't even know if it's indifference or just inability to block.
Does that matter less if their line is better? Bengals, like, do they need less help from the tight end?
It maybe,
or is it like these are different plays and it doesn't matter?
I don't know. And what some people have, you know, I've seen a lot in you've got a lot of these Bengals Bengal follows that do a lot of tape crunching and everything, and like, well, you're telegraphing that you're going to pass when you put Gesicki in the game because he can't block. And then if you take him out and put in Devin Asiasi, or, you know, they bring back Drew Sample, then you're telegraphing you're going to run. Like, yeah, but they did that half the season when they line up under center. Well, I mean, they knew the Bengals were going to run. Like, yeah, they switched
Joe Mixon did it for the first four games of the year by how he lined up in the backfield.
Straight up in the back. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, that's fine. You still got to stop it. I mean, you don't want to telegraph, but Bengals are still, you know, they did it. Obviously, they knew what team, you know, they knew teams knew what they were doing, but I don't think that's a big deal. The other guy, and I honestly think they're going to sign one of these guys, Dalton Schultz. These are both two guys that are coming off franchise tags. Didn't have the seasons that they expected. Tight ends aren't getting paid. Somehow Hayden Hurst and Josh Oliver are the two tight ends that have gotten decent money so far in free agency. And those aren't like, those are lesser guy, you know, less top end than these two guys. So it's weird. One of these guys are going to realize that Burrow is getting tight ends paid. They're going to take a 1-year prove a deal, and, you know, Bengals are going to draft somebody behind him. And again, like, I don't know who I'd prefer over him. I think Schultz might be a little bit of a better blocker, more, you know, traditional tight end type, but I'm still fine with Gesicki because he's a good receiver. Get that guy running down the seam.
I mean, it felt to me like the whole Hayden Hurst year, it felt like they could have used another year and it would have gotten a lot better to me. Like the connection between him and Burrow felt like super promising, and Hurst was a good player, but I felt like there was another gear that they didn't get. And maybe it's because Hurst just isn't quite that good. And, like, you know what I mean? Or maybe it was just a time thing for me, but, or for them. And maybe, like, Schultz or Gesicki is, like, that much better a player that, all right, roll them out there, and now we'll see the fireworks. But I feel like Burrow is, like, he's made for a tight end.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because you look at Hurst's numbers for the whole season, and you're kind of underwhelmed. Like, they're not that dissimilar from CJ Uzomah. And Uzomah is, again, these guys are fine. They're, you know, middle of the pack-ish, you know, tight ends. And yeah, there's already a lot of mouths to feed. So getting a George Kittle type or Travis Kelce tight end, like that's not, you know, you're not going to get a guy who's going to eat a ton of targets, but you get someone who's a better receiver than those guys, and they can put up some better numbers. You're kind of, people talk about, they love Hayden Hurst, and like, he was such a great fit, and like, his numbers were the same as Uzomah. And again, that's fine, but it was kind of underwhelming, you know, when you hear, you know, you think he made a bigger impact, you're like, really didn't, though.
Yeah, I wonder, like, is it like anybody on the Bengals is going to get that? Or is it like Burrow can make any guy into that? Or is it like, okay, roll an elite tight end out there, elite receiver, and watch it? I do think, like, this becomes more important as Tyler Boyd leaves the organization.
Definitely, 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 definitely. This, I mean, Boyd, this is going to be his last year in stripes. I forget what his contract exactly is, but if they can get, and again, this is a deep draft, and there's going to be guys available at 28, even guys at 60 when they draft, or 27, and guys at 60 when they draft in the second round, or yeah, 28 and 60. There's a lot of guys out there that, you know, that have the possibility of being an absolute dynamic third receiving option, you know, and then you just, you know, you've got someone as your wide, you know, just a draft pick as your wide receiver three, you know, you phase Boyd out.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the kid from Iowa who's had basically like a random number generator throwing him passes out there. Like, I don't know. Maybe he's great. Maybe he's not, but like, we'll never know based on film.
Yeah. you're just going off of history of Iowa tight ends coming into the league.
I mean, yeah.
They've had a bunch of them. And yeah, you can't really be too mad at LaPorta for not having big numbers coming from the God, that offense. That set the game back to 40 years, 50 years.
I went to the Ohio State-Iowa game this year, and I was just like, oh, my God. And that was actually a pretty decent game for Iowa's offense. They switched QBs at halftime. Like, that was rough.
I would say, did they bring back? But I can't think of a quarterback they've ever had that would have been useful to bring back.
No.
I can't think of an Iowa quarterback. Again, I'm not a Big Ten. I don't follow the Big Ten, but I can't even think of a quarterback they've had that's been.
What was the guy's name? There's a guy in the early '80s who was Chuck Long.
Okay, that's been a couple years.
Yeah, it's been 35. Yeah,
they're still successful. I mean, it's Kirk Ferentz. You know, he usually is going to win 8 to 10 games a year. But just an awful, terrible offense, man.
Yeah. Other than that, it's like Brad Banks.
Oh, Brad Banks. Forgot about that guy. he was forgettable.
That's not good. About the guy. Not good.
No. We're gonna kind of speed it up here. We've seems to be a running theme when you're around. Things kind of run a little.
Yeah, bit. I'm a ruiner.
I'm having fun though.
I'm an agenda ruiner.
Our twos of listeners and viewers.
Hey, this is going to get you folks through a whole week of commutes.
Yeah. Again, I'm not even going to go through. Only running back name I'm going to mention here. Austin Eckler. He is under contract, but he has received permission to seek a trade from the Chargers. You want a running back that is tailor-made for a Zach Taylor, Joe Burrow offense, and it's Austin Eckler. I doubt it's going to happen. It's going to be a big commitment in terms of draft pick. It'll probably be 3 or 4, but you're probably going to have to extend him, you know, for him to agree to it. But could you imagine that guy with that pass catching ability?
It's pretty exciting. I mean, I don't know what he costs, but
he's not much. But again, it's going to be he's going to want an extension to agree to a trade somewhere. And Bengals aren't in a position to do that.
No, they're not. But, you know, they got a pile of these extra picks from the free agents that they've lost, at least so far.
Yeah, I think they're at 3. They had a 3, 5, 6, and 7. They're losing their 3 that they gained from Bates by signing Brown.
Right.
But the other line of thought is you're going to have Burrow on that super expensive contract, so keep all those comp picks. Chiefs did really well with all their comp picks last year. I mean, they had 6 rookies with huge contributions on defense last year and won a title with them. So, again, I've got offensive line depth down. I think they've hit that already. I think that they still might draft one, draft a right tackle early in the draft just so they have that spot solidified. Because, again, if Jonah takes the right tackle spot, he's going in the last year of his deal. They're not extending him regardless. I mean, who knows if he's going to even have the job. Cornerback isn't a bad option to look for depth. Eli Apple is still out there. I think they might end up bringing him back and still try to bring someone back a little less volatile. And I don't even mean the fact that he's a fucking maniac. I think just his play is, you know, very, very.
They can do better. They can do better.
Yeah. You want to smooth out those peaks and valleys in Nick Kroll speak. They're definitely going to bring in somebody for some edge. Again, I don't mind if they bring in some older mercenary like Frank Clark or Leonard Floyd. Those guys still have miles on the even Justin Houston, who's like 187 years old. He taught the game to John Heisman. But
I mean, if you figure a guy's got something in the tank.
Yeah, you just bring him in on third downs and that's, you know, you're going to keep Henderson fresh. Sam Hubbard, for all of his, you know, for as much as everyone loves him, he's not great. Like he's a okay pass rush.
No, I like him as a contain end, but not like a speed end, beating guys through there.
He has a lot of pressures and sheer numbers because he never comes off the field. But you can definitely get more dynamic, you know, by if you can, you know, give him a rest. And I think that's Osai's going to be, you know, I think going to be doing more of that next year, but they'll definitely bring someone in. I don't have any three techniques that are out there that are useful, you know, that would help give any pass rush up the middle anymore. But again, that's something that you might see them go through. We do have a couple of viewer mail questions. I'll just run through them real quickly here. Our good buddy, Carlos Guevara, he has a question. He's wondering why the Texans hate him. Do you know why the Houston Texans hate him, Chris?
I have no idea. I don't know what he did.
They're just a terrible franchise. He was holding it over me a little bit earlier today that he does have fond memories of them beating the Bengals in back to back playoffs.
Yeah, that wasn't cool.
Yeah, TJ Yates.
Yeah, I'm headed down to Texas next week to investigate this, so I will let you know what I find out.
That's good. This is pressing news. They've been real active on the free agent market. They've all been kind of nobodies and useless, but you know. Active is active. Last question we're going to get to real quickly here is from our good buddy from north of the border, Joe Gaditza. And this is specifically for you. Says, I've enjoyed watching you enjoy pine from time to time on the shows. I'm assuming on your beautiful appearances on the Red Show. What is your go-to brew?
Tonight, we've had Powder Day IPA from Sierra Nevada. It's a double dry hopped IPA. It's pretty good. If I had to pick one, it would be Bell's Two Hearted. But I'm pretty promiscuous when it comes to drinking. I will try almost any kind of beer.
Yeah. He knows I'm too highbrow with my wine to have any questions for anything like that. So there you go. There's your beer,
Joey. You can get it. I don't know. I don't know if Bell sells in Canada, but I hope it does.
Smuggle it. Screw it. Who cares?
Head down to Michigan.
Yeah. I think he's, you know where he is? He's out in Saskatchewan from Regina. He is north of Montana, I think.
That's up there. That's up there.
So you might have
I've been to Calgary and Banff in Alberta, but I've not been to Saskatchewan.
I heard it's beautiful and really, 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 really flat.
Yeah, there's a lot of wind, right?
I'm sure out in the plains, so. We've run way too long. You got any final thoughts before we roll out of here, Chris?
Hooday.
Yeah, pretty much the same. Keep it tuned. I am on the Bengals show, TR Bengals show on Twitter. I'm trying to keep track of everything that's going on. If you guys have any questions for us, email us team@riverfrontcincy.com. We are on TikTok. We are everywhere you want to find us. We're going to make us out for record store days coming up. We're going to find a way to put a 45 out. It's going to be awesome. You guys are going to love it. So. For Chris Garber, I am Joe Farsing. See you later, everybody.